Yeah, welcome back to the Outkick Bets podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Clark, and I'm here to celebrate a tradition unlike any other, Masters Week, with Outkick golf columnist and just overall badass dude, Mark Harris. Mark, thanks for stopping by for your second Outkick Bets podcast.
That's right, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad we're able to link up again in our busy schedules, but happy to talk very meaningful golf this week. The greatest week in golf, that's for sure.
Speak for yourself. You're on dad duty.
I know.
A professional writer as well as I am as well, but I would say your schedule is a lot tougher than mine. But I appreciate you crafting time out for me and for the podcast. Have you ever been to Augusta to cover the Masters or otherwise?
I've been to three or four practice rounds. I actually went to the women's AM last year. My dad's been, I think, gosh, this might be the first year he hadn't been in like over 30 years. He always goes to the practice round or the women's thing since that started. Just kind of a thing that he picked up with his dad. And he just always goes down for a day or whatever. But yeah, I've been there a few times. It is as advertised. That I know people say all the time, but it is as good as it gets. Augusta's kind of a weird place because you pull into Augusta off interstate, you pass the Hooters and a Publix, and there's a golf course behind it that's pretty special. Just a magical place that you feel out of place the entire time you're there, and then you leave, you're like, well, back to reality. But yeah, man, it's I've got crazy memories there, and just watching the golf tournament as a kid, it's just like I said, it doesn't get any better than that.
Is Augusta like a whole golf town? Like, do they have like golf memorabilia shops? I'm thinking like Cooperstown. Like, if you go to Cooperstown, it's hilarious. It's like a mile and a half long. All of the stores and restaurants are named after baseball stuff, and then you have the Hall of Fame, and then it's woods. And there's nothing.
Yeah, there's a couple spots like that. I mean, it's just basically a straight shot down Washington. You know, a few chain restaurants. It, you know, Augusta's really not something special, like at least around the golf course. Then there's another golf course that backs out to Augusta that you can kind of vaguely see behind, let's see, 11 green, 12 and 13, kind of aiming corner. There's Augusta Country Club, which is mega, mega exclusive too. They actually had to take or buy some property from Augusta Country Club to extend that 13th tee back. I guess this is the second year or third year they've had that tee pushed back. So, yeah, definitely a golf town, but you know, the people that live there full time, this is a big week for them because a lot of them rent their houses out for 10x what they're worth for the week and go on a big family vacation. I think a lot of the schools around there are kind of playing their spring break around this week, so the locals can kind of get out of town because, man, it's Disney World with golf and for adults and, you know, some overserved adults at the same time too. But, man, it's crazy. Augusta's a weird place but a magical place.
Yeah, for sure. It's the only major that's played at the same course year in, year out.
Correct. Yep.
And it's crazy how hard the course is, even though there isn't like your normal golf course defense. Like, there isn't a lot of water holes. There isn't a lot of like tricky bunkers. The whole defense is based on like uneven lies and these crazy green complexes.
I think the defense too is just the aura of it too. Just being there. You hear players all the time talk about how you spend so much energy in the lead up, and it's so hard to kind of flip that switch when you're on the third, fourth fairway on Thursday in the first round. Like, whoa, like it's so hard to escape. Like, wow, this is the Masters. Even if it's your 10th time or first time, you just have to kind of click into that zone. I think, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but Rory, I think, is trying to tap into that too with like a completely different mindset and approach. I mean, he just got there like maybe 2 hours ago on site, which is kind of unheard of even for a guy playing in his 16th. But I'm sure we'll touch on all that and some picks we like to hear down the line.
Oh, dude, I've already bet $1.2 million on this Masters, and I'm looking for a couple other, like, I'm looking at the best left-handed player markets just to round out my card so I could go really into debt after the Masters. Dude.
It's crazy.
I sucked this year. I sucked pretty much 90% of last year. Victor Hovland bailed me out at the end of last season. Mm-hmm. I wrote in my Masters betting preview or outright picks piece, like, I fell in love with golf betting when I hit Colin Morikawa at the Open in 2021. And I just knew that his approach game was really good, but I wasn't following the sport at all, because had I been following it, there's no way I would have bet Morikawa.
Right.
You know? So yeah. I guess like ignorance is bliss, and I got a little beginner's luck. The following year, I was up like 35 units, just crushed it. And I actually foolishly, one of the dumbest thoughts I ever had was like, I cannot lose betting golf. Like I can't do it. It's impossible. Yeah. I have it down pat, and I've just gotten racked last year a little bit, and this year a lot of bit, and it sucks, dude.
Yeah, it's tough too. I know me and you talk back and forth behind the scenes. I'm in a huge one and done, and I think we're in like 315th place out of 600 people. But it's funny, me and my wife are doing one kind of on the side, just me and her, and she, I think she's hit three or four winners, and she would be leading the one and done that I'm in right now, if, you know, she entered it, or if I, you know, tailed her picks. But of course I'm not going to, because, you know, I covered the sport for a living. I'm like, oh no, that guy doesn't have a chance. But she's hit Jaeger, she hit Clark, Scheffler at the Players. I mean, it's nuts. But that just goes to show that most of the time this is just a crapshoot. And the Masters is a weird one too, because it's such a small field. And like, you know, you look at like the top 20 or top 30 market, and there's like, I swear, you go down the list and you could pick 30, 35 guys. You're like, oh, there's no way he doesn't finish top 30. There's no way he doesn't, you know, make the cut or whatever. It's just, it's really tough to pick your spots this week in a small field. And it's tough to, you know, pull the trigger on some of these guys at the super top of the board. But we'll get there with some guys that we like and have circled.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty much just Scotty in the long shots here. If you're looking at the odds board, Scotty's now 4.5 to 1 on FanDuel and DraftKings. The next closest guy is Rory at 11 to 1. You can't really make a case for not betting on Scotty. The only case that I would make, and that I do every week, is just like, I'm not going to bet a guy 4.5 to 1. I will say, because the field is only, I think, 89 golfers deep, it is so dependent. It's the most predictive course. Augusta National's most predictive course on tour. And typically, the Masters winners are coming in with great form. Scotty checks all those boxes. So if you were like I'm going to bet probably 7-8 units on the Masters. If you were someone who bet a typical, like that was your budget as well, and you're like, you know what, I'm dropping 5 on Scotty outright. I'm like, you know what, I don't hate it. I couldn't do it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's so tough to look at that number, and I'm kind of glad I wasn't of age to bet, or, you know, it was as easy to bet, you know, 15 years ago, because, I mean, this was every week with Tiger, and even worse, which is just crazy to think about. And he ran through the table, and his odds were lower than this, which is just unbelievable to think about. But yeah, it's the Scheffler thing is fine. Like, it's not to jump the bullet here, but it's like, you know, we're going to talk about some of these guys, but in the back of my mind, like, I would be stunned if Scheffler's not among the final group, second to last group on Sunday. And I think I'd be more shocked to not see him put on the green jacket than actually put it on.
Yep.
That's just how good he is right now. And I mean, if he wins this week, like, I, you know, it's way jumping the bullet, because there's 3 more left, but I think it's Grand Slam watch. He's got a baby on the way though, which nobody's really talking about. So that could affect him a little bit off the golf course, but some of those guys, man, it helps you. It helped your game. You know, you can kind of step away from a bit, you know, you can step away and put things into perspective for, you know, a quick minute, and it's crazy. We'll see.
So you can speak to this more than I can on every single level. I gamble on golf religiously, but I've never played a hole of golf in my entire fucking life. Yeah. I'm single. I have no kids. So like, my theory is like, when getting that family life helps golfers, because it's like, when they get to the golf course, they're just so at peace. And it's like, yeah, I get to play with the boys. Like, I get away from the wife, the kids. Like, I don't have to worry about any of this shit. I'll just go flush it. That's my theory.
And it's hard to, you know, I think it's easier for Scheffler to do that when he's got $150 million in the bank at whatever age he is. So it's, you know, he approaches it like a job. I'm different. You know, I'll go out there and have a couple cold ones with the boys and get away from life for 3-4 hours. But yeah, you know, like I said, some guys, I think, handle it differently with babies on the way. You know, Spieth has his just had a second, or he has a second on the way. And you could argue his game has gone in the wrong direction since that's happened. But yeah, we'll see. Hoping for the best for Scheffler, and then Sam Burge is on the board too, and his wife. And they're it's kind of crazy. They're best buddies, and they're going to have kids basically back to back. She's due in, I think, 9 or 10 days, and he said he would bolt too if she gets that early call. So buyer beware if you're way in on Sam Burns this week, which he's a pretty good course fit, but you could get that call and he can walk off the seventh fairway on Saturday and he's out. So we'll see.
Your column about that story was the first time I heard about it, and I keep hearing about it. It would be, I would prefer one of my golfers beating Scotty by Scotty leaving because of the birth of his kid than him choking. I like the idea of him turning into this Tiger Woods type guy on the golf course and just being like, this is the man, everyone's chasing him. He's going to hopefully lift the PGA Tour on his shoulders, then seeing him like puke all over himself or choke this Masters away or just not win it outright. So like if his wife has the kid on Saturday and he's like, you know what? I'm out. Peace talks. That would be hilarious and
I
pretty
mean, yeah,
awesome.
I honestly think he could have an 8-shot lead, and I think he'd still leave, which, hey, more power to him, man. Life-changing stuff. He has 20 more Masters to play in, but we'll see. Hopefully nobody has to withdraw for baby bursts. Hopefully they come on Monday.
Yeah, I want to see him out there, even if he ends up costing me money, because I don't have any exposure on Scotty. Aside from me and Dan Z are in a three and done pool. You pick three golfers for every tournament. You can only use them three times throughout the season. And I use Scotty at Arnold Palmer. I use Scotty at the Players. He went back to back. And I'm just going to take my third and final swing with Scotty at the Masters because of the course fit, obviously, and the recent form. And you said he could be on Grand Slam watch if he wins this. Obviously, that's going to be the major talking point for PGA Tour, talking heads moving forward. But there has been this trend where he crushes it in the beginning of the year and then tails off at the end of the year. So I'm just not going to overthink it. He'll probably end up winning the BMW or another major. But like, if I can get three wins out of Scotty, what that's the best you can do, right? So.
Literally. I would definitely, I'd be in the same shoes as you if I was in one of those. I'd be playing him this week for sure.
Yeah.
I think for like major golf courses, I mean, this is his best fit. They'll go to Valhalla later in the year for the PGA, and that's more of like a Rory fit where you got to hit the hell out of it. And then who knows kind of what to think about Pinehurst. He could fit there really well because you kind of have to pick your spot. You got to be a flusher, and there's no better flusher on the planet. So we'll see how that goes too. But and then across the pond for the Open. But yeah, I mean, if you're gonna rank the majors for Scotty, this has got to be his best fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's also the smallest field, so I'm gonna go ahead and give it a shot. Do you have any exposure on Scotty, whether it be a Survivor pool or do you do any DFS?
No, I haven't dabbled in DFS stuff, and I'm not slinging the units on Scheffler for the value for this week. Maybe he double bogeys the first hole and there's an opportunity to jump on a live bet or something, or he makes the turn at a few over on Thursday. There's probably some value there because, like we saw last year, Rom makes triple on the first to win the golf tournament or whatever he did. So could be some value there, but no, nah, I'm a little bit further down the board.
That's a great call, actually, and that just reminded me this will be one of the first tournaments that I've going into it. I'm looking for live bets to be made on Scotty. And let's talk about the next guy, Rory, who obviously needs the Masters to complete his career Grand Slam. If he starts out poorly and gets down to 20 to 1 or higher, I might take a shot because I actually believe he has a chance this year. I do. What are your thoughts on that? I know you wrote about it, and you probably spilled more ink about on Rory than any other golfer not named Tiger over the last, I don't know, 5, 10 years.
I mean, I think he has a chance every year, right? I mean, he's been close multiple times. 2011 is the nightmare where he, turns with a big lead and makes triple on 10, and it just implodes from there. So now all that pressure, and that's been 13 years now, which is just unbelievable to think about. Lots happened since then. But yeah, I mean, I like him this week. Like, I don't know. The column that I kind of started the week with was, every year since then has felt like a must win for Rory every time he tees it up here. But the reality is he's still only 34 years old. Like, the guy has a decade more chances at this.
And with fitness and where it is right now, like,
yeah,
you
I mean,
can't comp him to older golfers.
Yeah, absolutely. And the technology and everything. I mean, they can keep him. He's the best driver of the golf ball in the world right now. And, you know, he's stayed relatively healthy his whole career. So if he keeps that up, you know, there's, you know, 10, 12, 14 more Masters that he has a legit shot at winning. I mean, who knows? He could be one of those guys like Phil that wins one at 50. You know, Phil didn't win his first Masters until 34, which is his first major title too. So 34 could be the lucky number for Rory. I think he's coming to the tournament with, I think, as a guy that covers the sport and reads and hears and sees everything, it's easy to say that he's trying like too hard to avoid the narrative, which I've talked about. Like, there's no secret that he's trying to like stay away from Augusta as much as he has to this week, because it's so much exposure and energy and stuff out there. And he's been the story of Augusta for a decade now. Like, he just wants to, if he could show up Thursday, you know, after, I guess he could theoretically, if he wants to show up to his tee time Thursday and that be it, like he, you know, he could, like, it,
the
you know,
eagle
he doesn't
has
have
landed
to prep like that. Yeah, like, here we are, boys. Let's tee it up and let's go. And, hey, God, if we're talking about this 5 more years from now, he might actually have to try that if he has 15 years without a green jacket. But, yeah, I like his chances. I mean, I like his chances. You know, I'd put him in his top 3 or 4 guys to win the thing. There's no question about that. But that's every time he plays. Any golf course in the world's like that.
Man, we're off to a great start with the hot takes. We both think Scottie Scheffler and Rory have a chance this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like his approach.
John Rahm might be there. Who knows?
Yeah, I like this guy. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him, Hideki Matsuyama. No, I do like Rory's approach to how he handled it. If you remember last year, he missed the cut. But if you remember, there was more LIV Tour pressure on him than really any other golfer, and way more this year than last year. And you could kind of tell it affected his game, and not having as much pressure dealing with all that, I think, this year. And he played some like 81 holes in the week, the days leading up to the Masters last year. So
yeah.
I think being away from Augusta and not having as much of the live PGA Tour conversation, which he was the front of last year, I think is going to help him this year. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Right? It's golf.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting because, yeah, we've never seen anything like it with as far as the LIV stuff goes. We don't really know how all these guys are compartmentalizing it. But, yeah, Rory's obviously trying to take a step back from all that. And, you know, now there's even less excuses not for him to get it done, right? Like, now it's just all he's focused on is his golf. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out this week. It's just that there's something about Rory since that 2011 collapse where it's just like, every time they show him on TV at this golf course, it's like, this could be like the make or break. You know, he misses a 6-footer for par, or he misses a fairway by a few feet, or he finds a fairway bunker that nobody should be in, that kind of thing, where he just, it's just so easy to, you know, overanalyze this stuff. But, you know, his goal needs to be, you know, he has a ton of backdoor top fives, top sevens at this event. Like, all he needs to do is to be within a striking distance on Sunday, 2, 3, maybe even 4 shots instead of 8 back like he was a couple years ago, where he can just kind of be there and put his foot on the gas and have an actual shot instead of having to shoot 64 to finish second or whatever. That's got to be his goal, just a day-by-day thing. And get to Saturday afternoon with 27 holes or 18 holes to play on Sunday. I like his chances. You know, he can go toe-to-toe with Scottie for sure. There's only a few guys in the world that can, but he absolutely can. Another hot take for you there.
He's working with the Phil Jackson of golf, right? Butch Harmon?
Yeah, he's back with Butch. It's, you know, he said it's interesting because last week he was on a podcast with Morgan Hoffman, and he said he goes and visits him every 2 to 3 years. He's out in Vegas. He works with a lot of guys. Obviously, Phil's a long time coach for a long time too, and has done work with Tiger.
Yeah, he's like so famous with – helping golfers with a swing that I knew about him before I started betting on golf.
Yeah.
And I really only knew like Tiger and Phil and like a handful of guys.
Yeah. Works with a lot of LPGA tour players too. He knows what he's doing, but then today he's like, yeah, you know, we text just about on a daily basis. So, you know, there's some communication there. And then last week he's showing off the kind of that pre-shot routine that Justin Thomas has had for years, where he kind of does the half take back to check his club face, which I don't love seeing a generational talent like Rory doing that before he takes the club back. But, you know, if it kind of limits the pre-shot thoughts in his head where he's just like, okay, the face is set and then we go from here. He's definitely talented enough to just, if that's his one mindset, it could be kind of the difference to between a shot or two out there. And that's all it takes.
All right, let's move along and talk about the next two guys on the betting board here. The reigning Masters champion, John Rahm's, going for roughly the same odds as McIlroy at 11-1. Xander has been a really popular pick because of his recent form and Masters history, even though he hasn't won a Masters, has played really well and gotten close here. I actually am betting these two in a head-to-head. We'll talk about who I got after I kind of tee it up to you, but any exposure on Rahm or Xander? I'm assuming no on Xander, because I love your Xander take.
Yeah.
But I want to hear you unsheath it.
It's funny. You're not gonna believe it, but I like Xander this week too. Which maybe I'm just falling into the trap, but he's been, you know, you could say he's top two or three golfer.
Mark,
season.
Do you know how much you're gonna hate yourself when Xander finishes 13?
Right. Yeah, I know. And I remember, you know, the first week of the season, I was like, oh, who should I take in one and done? I was like, I'm going to take Xander first week so I don't have to look at his name for the next 51 weeks out of the year.
I took him at the American Express. I was like, he's going to kill this course. He got like T3. And I was like, you know, I can guarantee he'll kill this course and he's not going to piss me off later. And I regret that.
But yeah, I like him. I like him at Augusta. He's going to win a major. I don't know if I would say Augusta would be like the top of my predictive list. I could see him winning an Open or a PGA Championship, kind of like the JT model where he picks off a couple PGA Championships maybe.
But you kind of made a great point that extends here where it's like Mickelson took him until 34. Like what's Xander, 29, 28, something like that? I mean, he's younger than 34. I know that for sure. And it's like, you know, like would it be crazy if it took him a few years and then he rattled off like three or four and over the course of three seasons? Not at all.
Yeah, he's only 30. He's got – that's the thing is I think we – you know, for like us that we look at this stuff every single day and every weekend, like you're like, oh, my God, these guys – we see so much of their faces. You're like, these guys have got to be 34, 35. Like even me, like I was like, I was talking to a buddy. He's like, I think Rory's like 37, 38, but he doesn't turn 35 till June. Like you know, he's got so much time ahead of him that he could, you know, like Phil didn't hit his prime till after he was 34. You rattled off, you know, two, three, four, five phenomenal years, you know, battling with Tiger and all that too. So you kind of see a second prime for some of these, not Xander because he hasn't necessarily had a prime, but for Rory, you could see like the second prime or the second coming. Spieth kind of falls in that category too later on.
Yeah. I'm going to actually take Xander over John Rahm in a head-to-head, -105 at BetMGM. That's in the first bet that I'm going to give it out here. I'll put pen to paper on that, publish it on Outkick in the next day or two. It's not so much a fade on Rahm as I'm buying in on Xander and the love for him. I think it's due. He doesn't have a weakness, really, from a golf perspective. Great with the irons, great driver, great around the green, lights out putter as well. And I'm nervous about John Rahm. If I were to fade him, it's just because of all the commotion with the LIV Tour. Like he sounds like he's trying to change the rules. It's like, dude, what?
Yeah, it sounds. Yeah, he
got paid $400 million. Like just you took the money. Just be happy about it. Like I don't know, dude.
It's like I don't know. It's some all these reporters keep asking him and all the LIV guys like. And like Bryson made a fool of himself last week, but he's like, you know, I want to see change, but I don't want to. He basically said, I want to see change, but I can't do anything about it. It's like, you don't have to say that. Just like shut up and look at the zeros in your bank account. Just go play golf. Like, you know, we get it. Like you just, I don't know. It's almost
this
like
this was the risk for the 200 million like, or hundreds of millions. Like
Rahm this week was like, I think Liv should move to 72 holes. And it's like, dude, you've been there for 3 months. You knew what you signed up for. Like I get what I get what he's saying. Like you go 72 holes, and then but if you add a cut, you're just a PGA Tour with guaranteed money. But I mean, you know, it's all this.
That would piss me off more, actually.
Oh yeah.
If the LIV Tour just became the PGA Tour, it's like, oh okay, you guys actually don't have an idea. You're just drinking America's milkshake. Like fucking sick, guys.
It's just, it's the stealing the model. I mean, you talk about the sports washing model. If it goes to that, that's literally what it is. So, we'll see. Something's got to happen. I don't, it feels like I have been saying that for 2 years as far as the golf divide. And I still think we're a year or two away from anything happening at all on that, which is unfortunate, but we gotta take full advantages of weeks like this, major weeks where we can talk about all these guys on the same golf course. Because it's, man, it's tough to beat when all these guys get together and get to play these places.
So I think, again, not a hot take. Rom is slightly better than Xander, but I think the pressure of hosting the dinner menu looks fucking sick, by
Yeah.
the way. Hosting the dinner.
It looks heavy. The menu looks heavy.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's part of his strategy.
Maybe.
I'm gonna take Scotty out just
Yeah.
on the dinner table.
I wish we could see. I wish they would take pictures of, or like almost like document what they ate. Like I want to know, like, does Tiger indulge in that? Like, does he just get fat as shit
Yeah.
when tonight? Which it's 2 days before the opening round, so doesn't really matter. But
Strokes
just
gained
to see like
obesity.
what
I
those
love that
guys,
idea.
and like who, yeah, like who gets who has one too many, and what's the cocktail, and
Yeah.
who's got the who, what's the wine looking like? And the other thing, I don't know if you know this, but which I didn't know, I kind of knew, but I read about it the other day about, so the Champions Dinner, you're like, oh, Augusta National pays for that. Like, you're honoring your pad. That's not how that works. Like
No.
the past champion pays for, covers that. They're
Yeah.
getting some stuff that probably cost or whatever, but like the expensive booze and all that kind of stuff, it's a tab that those guys pick up, which is fine. They just made $4 million, whatever, from the previous year. But it's funny, like, that just shows anybody that's never been to a country club, like, there's not a country club in America that gives out anything for free besides water. Like, that's just the country club model.
Yeah.
They'll charge your ass to park. Like,
Yeah.
it's stuff like that. But yeah, it's funny. It'll be
Conspiracy
interesting to see
theory.
what comes of it.
Conspiracy
Yeah.
theory. Maybe Jon Rahm joined the LIV Tour so he could pay for his Masters dinner.
Maybe. Yeah. His 12-course meal, and I think every dish has a potato with it. Like, it's just gonna be
Yeah.
carb overload, man. I would love it. I
Dude,
love
I
it. I
saw the
can't pronounce anything
menu
on
and
the
I was
menu,
like, he feels bad about leaving, doesn't he? That's why he's
yeah.
going all out on this
Yeah.
menu.
Let's add like two more
Yeah.
tapas to the menu. I feel bad for these
Like, my
guys.
bad,
Yeah.
guys. My bad.
Yeah.
Look at the food. Check it out. Looks
Yeah.
good, right? My
Yep.
bad. But yeah, I mean, so I just don't think there's enough of a gap between Xander and Rom to where I think the pressure is too much on Rom, where I'm willing to roll the dice with Xander over him, whereas I would have never done it in previous years. And
Yeah.
all the LIV Tour guys, like, they dealt with the shit last year. This is the first year Rom's got to deal with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that. I like that. I haven't looked at any head-to-heads, but I do like that one.
I got one more on my card. I'll get to it a little bit later. Next guy on the list here, and we'll move through a little faster. But I do have a bet on him. He's my highest favorite with on my betting card, but Hideki Matsuyama, 20-1. You talk to me about golf every week, and if you guys are regular listeners of this podcast or readers of my content, you knew I was betting Hideki. I was
Yeah.
always betting
Yeah.
Hideki. It just so happens he's in good form. If he was in bad form, I was going to talk myself into betting Hideki.
Yeah.
He is one of the guys in this on this list or in the field, excuse me, you could see beating Scheffler. Like
Sure.
one of the guys, like he won the 2021 Masters. Elite ball striker, found the driver this year after struggling last year. Always sucks at putting, but the weird thing about the Masters is you don't have to be a good putter to win this. In fact, most of the recent winners of the last like 20 years have sucked at putting.
Yeah,
And
just got to be
he's,
average.
yeah. And the one thing that really saves him or makes him one of the best golfers in the world is the dude is a fucking wizard around the greens. Like, I love
And that's the
watching him
knock,
around the
that's been the
greens.
knock against him too for years. Like, I think there's like this persona that he isn't great around the greens, but his hands are unbelievable. He's so good around the greens. It's almost like he almost hits it like a different trajectory, and some of his chips even like sound a little bit different, but I think it's because he hits them so pure and off the center. Like, yeah, he's nasty. You take away like nasty rough at Augusta, where he, if you miss a green, it, yeah, you're penalized, but like you're going to draw a great lie every single time. Like he's a guy that you want like that. That's, I mean, that's the same reason Spieth's so great around here, because he's a wizard with a wedge, and Phil's won a couple. Like same kind of concept where you're going to draw great lies, and you know, you can get really, really creative with it.
Hey, look, I'm a dad. I know what dads want for Father's Day. That is steak, world-class Omaha steaks. Dads deserve top-quality American beef, and that's what they'll get with Omaha Steaks Deluxe Father's Day gift. For just $89.99, he'll get mouth-watering Omaha steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steak burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus four free burgers today.
So I'm going to go with two bets on Hideki, 20-1 to win outright, and I'm going to go top 10 plus 190 at DraftKings. And heads up, DraftKings is now offering these markets, which include ties. It's only them and BetMGM that pay out for ties. Every other U.S. sportsbook has dead heat rules applied to your ties, which is something I don't feel like explaining after Google, but it significantly hurts the amount of money you can bring home.
Yes.
So definitely look for placement bets on DraftKings or BetMGM when you're doing this. So Hideki top 10 plus 190. I'm going to list off the next three names, none of which I have action on, just to see if you have action on. Brooks, 22-1. Spieth, 22-1. Neiman, 28-1. Two of those guys are live players. One is an absolute alpha. The other is a former Masters champion and an alpha. And Joaquin Neiman still needs to kind of put it together, but has all the game in the world and is very young. Do you have exposure on any of these guys?
I'm contemplating pulling the trigger on Koepka. It could be one of those situations too, like an early live bet. Just see if it gets juiced just a little hair closer to like 30, 28-1, something like that. I don't love that he put a new putter in the bag last week. He's going mallet, which in my opinion can, I think it can kind of hurt you as far as like lag putting goes and stuff. But like doubting Brooks Koepka is dumb. Like I understand not betting him, but like if you can't make the case, like betting him would be bad. Like the dude's just a dog. Like he's a different breed. He could come at like last week's finish in Miami. He tied for 45th. Like, I don't care. He could have finished dead last by 10. That does not matter at all. He's done this before. And it's a revenge spot to him. And I, you know, some guys I think would kind of cripple under that revenge. But like I said, he's got that dog mentality where he could, that's kind of like maybe the only motivation he needs. And he's one of those guys that can just find form out of nothing. Like say the putter's cold. I figured something out on the putting green. I'm just going to stick to that. He keeps it very, very simple. But yeah, I don't hate his number. I don't love the number. I've seen it like 22, just at some places, 20-1. I kind of like it more at like 27, 28. So I'll probably pull the trigger. He's definitely going to be contemplated for the one and done too. Just cause last year tied for second and, tough to pass up on him.
Yeah. Brooks is awesome. When I first started betting golf 3 years ago, Brooks was still on the tour, and I said if he knocks down putts, he's pretty much the best golfer in the world. Still think that's true. The next outright bet that I have on my card is a 40-1 shot. Do you have anyone in the 30-40-1 price range?
No, another one I'm like circling is Victor Hovland. I don't think I'll bet him to win. Maybe like a throw a top five bet, but he seems like he might be a little too lost in the sauce, like all these swing coach changes. But maybe he's just like a sicko and he kind of thrives in that, like Tiger Woods sicko mode, where he's just so addicted to the minutiae of the game and stuff where he almost thrives when he's thinking more, which is weird because, you know, he seems like such a happy-go-lucky guy, but he's talked about how like he took time away and he's fired all these swing coaches and the guy that reinvented his short game, who's actually from around here in Memphis and works with a lot of players. Yeah, it's just – Hovland's a weird one, and – that 35-1 number, you see it a lot of places. That's super intriguing, just the number, because I don't think it's going to get any longer than that the rest of the year probably. So it might just be worth sprinkling there just because the number's so intriguing.
Yeah. When I hit
he's still,
him.
He's still a top still a top six player in the world. Like, he's not, he hasn't completely lost it. He just hasn't been playing on in front of us. So who knows?
No, I, when I hit him at the BMW Championship and the Tour Championship, I mentally just was like, I am betting him at the Masters, but the swing coach changes and just the form is like, you know, 40 to one. I saw that's close. I mean, it's tough to pass on, but I was able to, I had other guys that I was willing to go with instead.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. Even though I haven't bet any, but I know what you're saying.
The next guy actually on my betting card is 40 to one, the 2023 US Open champion, Wyndham Clark. No debutant, or excuse me, the last debutant to win was Fuzzy Zeller, and I believe 1979. There has been debutants of recently that have finished second, Zalatoris, Sung J.M., someone else, I'm spacing out on it, but regardless, I love Wyndham Clark's game. I think it fits this course perfectly, Augusta. He's coming in great form, you know, besides Scheffler, he's been the best player on tour this season. Picked up a win on the shortened AT&T Pebble Beach, back-to-back seconds behind Scotty at Arnold Palmer and the players. Won an elevated event, Quail Hollow, at Quail Hollow, Wells Fargo Championship, and then the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club, two of which are comp courses to Augusta. And the L.A. Country Club, I think, is a great comp course to Augusta, and that's ultimately why I was able to get to the window on Wyndham Clark outside of the price. It's just like Augusta, LA Country Club has super wide fairways, but you need to be accurate on them with plus distance, because based on where you land on the fairway, it can make it impossible to get a birdie look, or you're set up in good position. Very firm and fast bent grass greens. Obviously major course, so it's a tough field. And then just a fucking hammer dick with the driver, crushes the ball off the tee. Yeah. So
which to that point too, I'm interested to see, which I got on Wyndham a couple weeks ago at 48 to 1. You know my affection for him as far as the betting. I you just rattled all that off, and like I still think he's being disrespected on the board, even, you know, 2 days before, which is just like him having the same odds or longer odds than like Cantlay or Finau right now is mind boggling to me. Like you said, he's probably the second best player on the planet right now. Yeah, I'm super interested to see how many drivers he has to hit at Augusta or chooses to hit. Cause he, you know, he hits that wipey cut, wipey fade. You can even call it a slice in some cases, but he controls it so well, and he's long. We saw that driving iron a lot at the Players. I think he hit it on 18 just about every day. Where, you know, he's carrying the thing like 260. Like, even on number two at Augusta, they've extended it 10 yards back off the tee. And the trees on the left now are in play, which for Wyndham, who hits that slinging left to right, you might not want to pull a driver there, because you're going to have to, you know, those trees would be in play, which they never have been before. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how many, you know, big dogs he pulls out of the bag, I think. But, you know, he's long enough to do anything. And then his short game's ridiculous. You know, people don't talk about how great he was at LACC with the wedges in his hand, and battling Rory, by the way, too. Like, it wasn't some small moment. He's played in a Ryder Cup, although it didn't go well. Like, he's gotten so much experience in the last 18 months to where the debutant thing at Augusta, I don't think he's going to faze him one bit.
No. And speaking of which, I like to back these guys with like placement bets or, you know, finishing bets. Because I'm leaking so many units this year, I'm going to maybe take a step back about with that stuff. But I found a way to kind of back up my Wyndham Clark outright bet with, I'm going to bet him top debutant at plus 333 at BetMGM. The other debutant, big debutant in the field is Ludvig Åberg, who actually has better odds going at 30 to 1, 25 to 1 at some books.
See, that's insane to me. That's insane.
Yeah. I don't fully get it. Cause like, I love Åberg. He's awesome. And he's looked great this year.
I like him too.
But like, he hasn't won a US Open.
Every power ranking you read, he hasn't played in a major.
Right.
Every power ranking you read, it's like, this guy is, you know, fourth in the field. I'm like, according to what? Like, I understand he won on the tour last year and then won in he won his way to under the Ryder Cup. Like, I understand he could be a generational guy, but like, I can't get behind him having better odds than Wyndham Clark right now. That's just bananas.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see who else is in this market. He's the favorite. Åberg at 275. Bhatia coming off the Texas Open wins plus 850. Danny McCarthy, who Bhatia beat in the playoff, is plus 900. Jaeger plus 1200. I'm not going to continue to list them off. There's a bunch of debutants in the field. And all of them obviously have game. You know, they either placed really well in several tournaments or won outright, but I'm pretty comfortable going with Wyndham here. So that's my exposure on Wyndham. Moving on down the list, what else do you have on your card?
We got Wyndham, and I think a guy that me and you were both on, which I don't really know why we're on, because I guess it's just the numbers surrounding, but Cam Young, he's won nothing on tour, but I like his number. He's, you know, he's coming in with form. He's long as hell off the tee. He feels like a guy that's going to pick one off, or can kind of spiral that into a, you know, a pretty big time career. He's still a younger guy too. So we'll see if he's, you know, ready for the moment, that kind of thing. But, you know, he's played on some U.S. teams and stuff. So he's got some experience as far as being in the limelight. He's, you know, played well in last year's Masters. If I don't.
T7.
Yeah. T7. So, he, you know, been there, done that. He's got a little taste. So we'll see. Like I said, I think he's a guy that can win one. I don't know if he can win his very first PGA Tour event, be at Augusta National, but crazier things have happened. So we'll see. But I like him at that. I got him at 50-1. So sprinkle that a little bit and, you know, hope for the best. He's kind of sporadic, but underrated putter if he gets it going. So we'll see.
Yeah, he was plus 4.7 strokes gain on the greens last year in the Masters after sucking 2 years ago in his first ever Masters appearance. There's a trend that's gotten pretty popular on the golf Twitter, in the golf Twitter space, that Ron Close from BetSports put out there, where I think the last 12 Masters champions have gained at least 18 strokes tee to green in their four events prior to the Masters. Cam Young checks that box. Elite ball striker. He's as good with the driver as anyone in the world. And his power allows him to conceptualize and think of shots other guys just can't, because they don't have the power to do it. And, you know, he also has the power to get to these greens on two in these par fives, and you just got to clean up the par fives if you have any chance of winning. Yep. So that's kind of my thinking with both him and Wyndham Clark, frankly, and really everyone on my betting card's good in the par fives. So next guy I have on the list here is JT, who's coming in with some pretty spotty form, although he's playing better this year than he was last year. Last year was his worst season. I got him at 45-1. And my thought was, like, him, Hovland, Finau, Cantlay, Morikawa, Fleetwood, they're all been kind of disappointing this season. And one of them, I think, are going to pop up, if not two of them, here and at the Masters and find something. And I just hitched my wagon to JT, because his tee to green numbers, approach numbers have been sick. He's historically awesome around the greens. That's not going anywhere. His putter has been really, really bad lately, but it's, you know, that's kind of how it goes. And again, in Augusta, bad putters can win the Masters. Also, the Valspar finish that he had was a bit misleading. Dude dropped 7 strokes on round 3. He was minus 5.
One of the worst.
One
of the worst putting performances of all time.
Yeah, I mean, but you watch the first 2 days of the tournament, you're JT's back. He's going to win this shit. And then he just puked over himself round 3. And
it's like, just golf. Just golf. You know, I think he's getting torched by the golf gods. I think he can turn it around, too. I can't pull myself to pull the trigger on him, just because he's kind of like the Hovland thing. He just hasn't shown any form. And, you know, he switched caddies, which I think the spin on that is like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he did that 2 weeks before. And what's going on with JT? But I think it could be like one of those things where he's just kind of freed up and like kind of not thinking about it anymore. I'm thinking that over the past couple of months, he's probably had that in the back of his mind. Like, it might be time to split with Bones, or, you know, something might've popped up to now where he's just, I'm just out here playing golf. I don't even know who's on his bag this week. Not that it, you know, there's very few guys in the field where it matters who's on their bag. I guess you could say it does for everybody, but Ted Scott on Scheffler's bag makes a difference. Rory's bag, Harry maybe makes a not great difference. DJ's kind of the same talk. So, yeah, we'll see if that's the – if that's a spun storyline, if JT gets off to a slow start.
Yeah, I defer to you on that stuff with the caddy stuff, because me and my just like, I don't know. I just look at it, it's like, you know, the caddy doesn't hit a fucking shot, so whatever.
It's true.
It's like, yeah. Well, Bill Belichick is awesome. Yeah, well, he right. didn't throw a single touchdown pass. Yeah. That was Tom Brady, yeah. You know? It's like,
that's true.
They could give all the advice they want, but it's really Justin Thomas who's got to mm-hmm. hit the shot, so... I mean, you could make a quality argument for the caddy mattering, but then again, he's got the skill to supersede any of that off the course distractions, or in this case, I guess, on course. The last guy that I have an outright ticket on is the complete opposite of JT, at least from a putting sense. Cam Smith, who is and will forever be one of my guys since I hit him at the 2020 Open. I love the Open. And that was his round four is one of the best like golfing performances I've ever seen. This dude as like putting, for those of you new to golf betting who don't understand golf, putting, as far as I can tell, is pretty random, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Luck is definitely involved.
He is as good of a putter as anyone is at anything in golf. It is. Mm-hmm. He is fucking lights out. It is sick to watch. And there's just something comforting about having a good putter on your betting card. It's just like if he, like with Hideki, I watch Hideki. I have Hideki exposure every single tournament. And from 5 to 10 feet, it's a coin flip. 5 to 10 feet with Cam Smith, it is going in. Like it is, that shit is a lock. And
It's rare to have a guy make putting look exciting, but Cam Smith has somehow done that because it's just, I don't know. He doesn't take any practice stroke. He just kind of walks up and the stroke's perfect. And he just got kind of that swagger to him, which, you know, I think it can escape him at times. I think it has on live. I think you could make the argument he's kind of been coasting and he's just, you know, which I don't blame him. Like I think a lot of guys out there, and he's just kind of getting turned up for major championships, which is fine. He collected a paycheck and that's a reality.
Hasn't he been as honest about that as like Dustin Johnson? Like everyone knows Dustin Johnson took the money, doesn't even care. Cam Smith did pretty much the same thing. He's just less public.
He wanted to buy a couple more fishing boats and fish all day, and it is what it is. It's just interesting too, because he's kind of flying under the radar a little bit this week, in my opinion, which is kind of scary because he, like you said, he can flip a switch because the putting's going to be there. If he's got the off the tee game working, he could be dangerous.
I'm putting I got him at 50-1 to win outright, and I'm putting a quarter unit on him to be the best live golfer at 9-1. That's kind of my way to ensure or get some money off him, possibly without him winning outright, and I don't have to worry about Scotty also in that market. Thank God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that rounds up my outright betting card. I have a few more picks to place and one more head to actually, let me circle back. I'm taking Justin Thomas GT over Colin Morikawa in a head to head at DraftKings. I love Colin Morikawa, as we talked about already. Hit him at the 2021 Open. He's one of my favorite golfers. This game's not there. You're like, you can set your watch to him killing it with the irons. Apparently not anymore, though. He's just completely lost. I actually think there is a chance he can get it back this week, but there's also a chance he's just not there, and JT outplays him. So I think there's a couple different paths to victory, right? Colin continuing to suck and or JT just outplaying him. So I'm taking that one.
Yeah, Morikawa, for as little as I've watched him this year, it's like he just keeps missing greens in the wrong spot. And like you do that at Augusta National, you're in for a miscut almost indefinitely. So if he doesn't figure that out, it could be a short week, not a long week for him. So we'll see. But I'm with you. I mean, he'll find it. Something's going on.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's lacking a little bit of confidence. Probably some tough breaks here and there that are pissing him off. But it's tough to say he's going to snap out of that at Augusta.
Dude, I know a guy in Long Beach that's dealing Morikawa 65-1 And despite everything I just said, it's like, oh, I want that so bad. I want that so bad.
Dude, it's, that's large.
I mean, I bet him at 35-1 last week because it was like, anytime Colin Morikawa gets a 35-1, I got to bet him. 65 in a short field? I mean, he's been top 10, I think, twice in a row. It's like, But I'm actually going the complete opposite way and fading him, I guess. Any other outrights in your card? I got a couple placements throw your way.
But. Yeah, right around that 50-60 mark, I've got Shane Lowry. There's not too much I want to say about him. Like he's on that list from around close. He's, you know, gained almost 24 shots in his last four tournaments, tee to green. And he's a good putter. And he's played well at Augusta in the past. Top three here 2 years ago. Obviously, he's won a Claret Jug, done the whole Ryder Cup thing. He's just kind of a course fit, kind of a guy, kind of that slightly veteran presence that you always kind of see pop up at Augusta. He hits fairways, he hits greens, he avoids bogeys pretty well. So he just kind of fits the card to where, especially that I got him at 60-1. So it's, you know, it's enticing number because I think he picks off another major in his career before he calls it quits or anything like that. So maybe it's this week.
Let me jump in there. I got a top 20 on Shane Lowry. That's one of my placements. T16 last year at the Masters, T3 2 years ago, like you just said. Yep, 2019 champion golfer of the year. Has several top 20 finishes in majors. The tougher the course, the better Lowry typically plays. He had a top 20 at the at U.S. Open last year and the PGA Championship last year, which was really one of the tougher courses we've seen in recent memory. In great form, like you said, checks the Ron Close recent trend, tee to green box, had a T60 at Phoenix, not very good, but T4 at Cognizant, T3 at Arnold Palmer, T19 at the Players, which I profited off of, thank God, and he's fifth tee to green this season on the PGA Tour, third in approach, so ball striking there, short game there, team no putt, but for the umpteenth million time, you can kind of get away with that at Augusta sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, he's super streaky with the putter. I feel like 1 week he can be hot, and the next week he can't make a 3.5 footer. So hoping for the prior statement there for this week for Big Lowry.
If you told me he was just zero in strokes gained putting this week, I would jump all over that 60-1.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. 100%. That's what I'm hoping for.
Any other outrights in your betting card?
I had one sitting from months ago that I jumped on JT posting at 190-1 thinking I was getting a bargain, and now he's like 210-1 some places, but that's on the card, just a few bucks on him. The strokes gained gods do not like him at the moment. You go to his PGA Tour profile, you know, nothing pops, but Data Golf still has him as top 40 player in the world. He's, you know, played in a couple of Masters, shown a little bit of form here and there. You know, talk about a putter. Like, when he's hot, he's one of the best putters in the world. So, you know, seen crazier things happen than a JT Poston contending at Augusta. So, yeah, that rounds out my outright. I've just got four right now. Might circle back to Koepka. Probably wait for a live bet early Thursday.
My other out, I got two other placement bets. One's Corey Connors, top 20. Every time I bet him, he screws me, but falls into the same tee to green trend. Tee to green trend as Lowry, plus 23 strokes tee to green over his last four starts. T18 at the Arnold Palmer, T13 at the Players. He was T10 at the Masters in 2020, T8 in 2021, T6 in 2022. He sucks at majors, and Augusta is really the only the Masters is like the only major he actually plays pretty well in. He's, you know, second in my fantasy national model and strokes gained approach over the last 36 rounds, first and those long approach shots over 200 yards. So I think he's got the ball striking. We know he's going to hit the green in regulation. He's pretty much a lock to do that. It's just a matter of if he can knock down putts. Probably won't, but he's just such a good ball striker. I think he can sneak into the top 20 again, including ties. So that's a major thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he fits a lot. He checks a ton of boxes this week, and I've seen a lot of people talking about him. And like you said, he's got great history, which there's a few courses that kind of matters at, but Augusta's definitely one, and he fits the mold. But as far as outrights, for me, top 20s, I've got Joaquin Niemann even money, which I think Joaquin Niemann's the best player on Live right now. I think the stats would agree with that. and he's shown form here. Even money's not bad. Kind of the backup to Cam Young outright. I have him at top 20 at plus 150, and then I'm falling into the trap that is inevitably going to snap me is Siwoo Kim at plus 175. He's just kind of there, but his stats are like popping off the page. He's also on run closest thing, just below Corey Connors. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that plays out. Flusher, but is liable to make a nine on a hole, so we'll see if he can avoid that. If he just kind of keeps it steady, definitely I don't think a top 20 is out of play there by any means.
I got a fellow Korean on my betting card, my actually last bet I can give out at the moment, but this, I'm throwing a dart here. I'm going Sung J.M., top 20. He has really no form to speak of. He did set the PGA Tour birdie record at the Century.
Saw that. Yeah,
first tournament this season. And remember that. Kapalua is a comp course to Augusta. His only other finish was T18 at the Arnold Palmer, but I've bet him back-to-back years to finish top 20 at the Masters, and he's cashed the ticket in both those, T16 last year, and I'm pretty sure he backdoored that one, and T8 2 years ago. He finished T2 as a debutant in the 2020 Masters. So I know he's in a recent slump, but again, I got him at plus 240 to finish top 20, so it was worth, the dart throw. And for his career, he picks up strokes on all the major golf stats, tee to green, off the tee, crushes par fives, which to me is the most predictive stat out there. Great around the greens, typically, and a lockdown putter. He's only 26 years old. He's won twice in the PGA Tour. Again, dart throw, but plus 240 for a top 20. I'll give it a shot. And either way, I've profited off him the last 2 years. So even if he loses this one, hey, whatever. I'm willing to chalk it up.
Yeah, the last placement I have, and I like that one. I didn't realize the odds were that high. I don't know if I'd say throwing it a dart, but I'm taking Lucas Glover. I got him at plus 220 to finish top 30 at DraftKings. I think he's a top 30 player in the field, you know, if the putter cooperates. He's kind of got to that. If you ever look at courses that Corey Connors plays well, Zach, it feels like Lucas Glover is always there too, because their game's kind of similar. And I like that Glover can move the ball right to left. Obviously an experienced guy. So we'll see. I mean, plus 220 for top 30. I kind of jumped all over that. I was kind of surprised to see that number, but he also fits on the Ron Close thing. He's, I think, let me see. Yes, he is. He's second to last on that list. So just above Bryson. So I'm, you know, hoping the stats and the experience for him kind of prevails for a top 30 there.
Yeah, dude, he just snuck in there, huh? And that's even missing the cut at the Players. He still picked up strokes, tee to green. Interesting.
Yeah, he's a sneaky guy. You know, he's won the U.S. Open. It was 100 years ago, but and he won twice last year. So
yeah, back to back. Hit the Wyndham and the FedEx St. Jude big boy tournament.
Yeah. So he's got some stuff, you know, just got to have the yips stay away for 4 days with the putter. But it seems like that's been the case. So we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you can play decent for three rounds, go on a little heater for one round, a top 30 is very reasonable.
Yeah.
You got 2.2 to one?
Yeah, plus 220.
Sick, dude. Sick. All right, man. I mean, that's all I got. You got any other bets you want to give out?
No, I mean, did we already predict that Scotty's going to win?
Yeah, we led off with that, and I guess we should end with that as well. Scotty's probably going to win.
I guess the conversation is how many shots does he win by? But I mean, hell, there's probably a market for that. Like, I think it's multiple. I could see him winning by four, but you know, I keep going back and forth. Like, I feel like maybe the guy comes back down to earth, or maybe he's not of this earth and he just rattles off one by four or five, because I think we've been kind of expecting him to do that on the biggest of stages. So
yeah, we'll as crazy as it sounds, the best chance for us to beat Scotty is if his wife's water breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we're at. Yeah.
I didn't do this, but there are winner without markets on all the legal sports books. So shop around for that. You can bet winner without Scotty, even Rory, I think Scotty and Rory. So maybe shop around for those. I'm going to gamble and just like hope but expect to lose.
there's 88 guys in the field. You got to be 88 guys, relatively, like, probably 45 guys. But,
yeah, for sure. Like Fred Couples, he's not sweating him, or like VJ. He's in a mop, those guys. But
he's not sweating Tiger. I guess, hell, we went the whole podcast without talking about Tiger.
Yeah, we did. I mean, all right, let's finish it off with some Tiger talk. I'm going to throw $20 on him at, I think, 90-1 is the number that I can get.
Yeah, I think he's, I think earlier in the week he was around like 100. It looks like he's at, on BetMGM, he might be at like 150 right now.
Yeah. I think he's,
to win.
I think he's plus 110 to make the cut, which, like, I might put 20 on him to make the cut and 20 on him to whatever, to win outright.
I think that's the bet. If you're going to bet anything for Tiger, I think it's to make the cut. Because, you know, his body's going to hold up for 2 days. But, you know, making it through Sunday. And I think he got a late, early draw. So the turnaround for him Friday is going to be probably a little bit tough. But, you know, apparently, you know, every report out there yesterday was, oh, he's flushing it. Like, that's a shock. Like, we know the guy can still hit a golf ball. And he was hitting it by Will Zalatoris with the driver, which is, you know, pretty impressive for a guy his age that has steel bones. But we'll see. I like to make the cut bet at that number for sure, but I wouldn't sprinkle anything on the outright, but that'd be a hell of a sweat if he's in contention come Sunday morning.
Oh man, that would be so sick.
If he's just top 20, I mean, you're starting the day with a little bit of sweat.
Absolutely. I think he's going for the consecutive cut made record at Masters. I think he's at 24 and going to 25. Maybe he's at 23 going to 24. And all that tells me is you're going to need to amputate his fucking leg for him to withdraw.
You know what
I mean? Yep. Like, it needs to be, it's going to be like he stepped on a landmine. Like, that's the only way that's going to get him out of that tournament.
Yeah. And you'll hear it all week. And I'm sure you've heard it. Like, but that place is very difficult to walk.
Yeah.
Like, TV doesn't do it justice. Like, it's walking up ski slopes. The hill on one is fucking 80 degrees in angle. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, he's been there a few times. I think he's figured out the proper path to take up these hills.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining the Outkick Bets podcast. Where can people find your stuff?
Yeah, man. On Twitter, I'm at it is Mark Harris, and then covering the hell out of the Masters this week over at outkick.com. You'll see it all over the homepage. We'll have stuff throughout the week. Got plenty of columns up. A lot of stuff on Rory, as that's continued to be the storyline for the past decade for him to maybe get the green jacket and complete the slam. So we'll see. But, yeah, check us out all week, and we'll have plenty of stuff in the lead up to Augusta.
Yeah, best of luck, guys, with your Masters bets. Hopefully you guys have fun watching the tournament, and we can all make some money. That's the goal, right? But until next week, peace.